Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long time. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going to the front lines of history in the making. And today, as always, the third caller gets a free T-shirt designed by Crudy himself. Third caller. The first story, there's so many stories you can lead with every day. The first one today, though, is the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, clears the way for Trump's tax returns to be turned over to the Manhattan District Attorney. Now, why is that significant? What was the legal basis of that, and what's going to happen as a result? And the shorthand is that Trump is in a heck of a lot of trouble. The Manhattan DA convened a grand jury. In some states, they'll call it a grand jury if it's federal, sometimes with state, sometimes it's just a panel of inquiry, but it's a group that he submits evidence to get criminal indictments. And originally, when he subpoenaed Trump's tax returns, Trump said, well, wait a minute, I was president of the United States. He can't get my tax returns. The Supreme Court shillied and shallied, but then after he left being president of the United States, they said that no, you can get them. But they also said that you can put in other objections to them the way you would in normal civil litigation. And I've tried these kinds of issues for a long, long time, and people say it's burdensome, overbroad, it's a fishing expedition, a lot of things. So they went back and they litigated all of that, and it went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, we're going to uphold the lower court rulings that you got to turn them over. Now, does that mean that you're going to see him? Does that mean that I'm going to see him? Does that mean the press is going to see him? And the answer is no, at least not right away. A grand jury has a code of secrecy that is supposedly inviolate. These tax returns will be turned over to the prosecutors. They will look through them and show some of the information, to the grand jury. There's an old saying that a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. What does that mean? What it means is, and you won't believe this, but there aren't the normal rules of fair play that you think of in a criminal trial in a grand jury proceeding. First of all, the defendant isn't even there, and frankly, he doesn't even have to be notified about it. Secondly, the prosecutor does not have to put on any evidence favorable to the defendant. Third, he can put on hearsay. And frequently, they'll just have an officer or an agent testify to an affidavit that some source gave him without the source even being identified. So he'll sit there and he'll say, we have reason to believe, here's an affidavit that this source said he saw this guy with the drugs killing somebody and so on. And that's all the grand jury hears. And what do you think they're going to do? Well, they indict the guy. Well, in this particular case with Trump, you know, it's obviously high profile. The standard in a grand jury is that the prosecutor and the grand jury have to find that there's probable cause to believe that a felony has been committed to charge. They don't have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt then. You know, you go to a jury trial, they have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not true in a grand jury. So the prosecutors have a code of conduct in which they decide, especially federal prosecutors, that they will not indict someone unless they reasonably believe that they can get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. That sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, but it's a big deal. Anyway, what are these tax returns going to show? Tax returns will show that the approximately $26 million that he paid in, quote, consulting fees, end quote, much of it to his daughter, Ivanka Trump, as a consultant. It'll also show if he gave any of it to Don Trump Jr., to Eric Trump, to their wives. Then there's a question. All of these people were also employees of the company paying the consultant fees. Why are you getting consulting fees for a corporation from a corporation for which you work anyway and get a salary? You know, if somebody's a CEO of a company, the board doesn't also give them consulting fees. Is this just a money laundering thing where he passes income on and then he can take it as a tax deduction? Is that what's going on? Maybe because they have a lower tax rate. Who knows if they pay taxes at all? Who knows? Maybe they do. Number two, he owes $400 million to somebody. I know it's related to the commie Ruskies. You know it's related to the commie Ruskies or to banks where somebody guaranteed it. Some guy named Boris in a raincoat in Budapest? You know, who guaranteed? This is ridiculous. This is a foreign president of the United States. What's going to happen is they're going to look and they're going to say, oh, there's a couple of LLCs, limited liability corporations, and they all have very, very nice flowery names like the Bradford Corporation and the Elliott Corp. Oh, that sounds great, except that when you trace them, they're in Moscow, Russia, or somewhere else like that. And then you wonder, who are the principals in the LLC? And they dig around, they find out it's Boris and Natasha. And what other business does the LLC have other than to give Donald Trump money? Well, nothing recently or at all. So this is the kind of stuff they look at. They put together a case. The other case they're going to look at is, how did he value his properties? How did he value them for tax purposes? How did he value them for lenders? What do I mean by that? The word is that he keeps two sets of books, that he'll have a property, say, that he'll tell the lenders is worth $100 million. And therefore, they feel pretty good about lending the money against it because they have an asset they can collect against if he defaults. But for tax purposes, maybe he says it's only worth $50 million, either for property tax purposes or otherwise. If you keep two sets of books and you separately value assets one way and jack it up for lenders and another way and jack it down for the government, that's a felony. Then there's also money laundering. What kind of money went in and out of these companies? And who did it end up in? Whose pockets? Now, here's the thing about this. I don't know what the result's going to be, but Cy Vance, his father, Cyrus Vance, was an American diplomat in Democratic administrations. I think he served in some cabinets, very well-known guy. And his son, Cyrus Vance, Jr. or third or whatever it is the DA of Manhattan. This guy's a square shooter, And Cy Vance is not going to indict Trump if he wouldn't indict anyone else on the same facts. But Cy Vance will indict Trump if he would indict anybody else on the same facts. So what's good is it's going to be very hard for QAnon and for Cruz and Hawley and these guys to go, oh, well, it's New York and they're out to get Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with this kind of money. This is some serious money. Is a guy playing fast and loose with money laundering, tax fraud? Is he doing it? And if he does, they go after anybody. Believe me, they go after anybody. And if it's not there, they won't go after him. So stay tuned. That is what's happening. That's what's happening in Manhattan DA's office right now. Separately, the Attorney General of New York is looking at Trump for violations. Separately, the U.S. Attorney in Washington, D.C. is looking at him for inciting the insurrection. Separately, both the U.S. Attorney in Atlanta and the State District Attorney in Atlanta are looking at him for extortion, for the letter to Reffensberger, where he said, "Find me 11,780 votes. I lost by 11,789, so goose me up one vote, and I'll tell everybody I won by one vote," and everybody will go, okay, I guess, okay. I don't know how naive this guy is, but in that phone call, which was taped, he said, you can get in criminal trouble if you don't do what I say. That's extortion. That's a mob call in Chicago, in New York, in LA, guy does something like that in the drug industry or anything else, he's going to prison. So they're looking at him. Jean Carroll, the woman that he says he raped at the Bergdorf Goodman dressing room a long time ago, is suing him for libel because he said she was a liar. It didn't happen. There are a lot of other lawsuits against this guy. And, you know, one of the very sad things, except not that sad given what he's been up to, but he has a close business associate who early on, once he lost the election, texted him and said, you know, Don, you really should make a graceful exit. It'll help you out legally. It'll help you out legally. If you continue to say it was a fraud, stir people up, get people angry, people are doing stupid things, it's going to kill your brand. And he was right. Trump didn't go gracefully, and people are zealous in their litigation. And right now, banks are running away from him. Business partners are running away from him. Nobody wants his brand on a Trump Tower and that kind of thing. He made a lot of his money just selling his name. Now his name is no good. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789.
For a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.